Does Jens think Billy Chirpak could replace Formlin?
You dog, you.
I wasn't expecting that. Nice timing, Nelly. Paul, how are you, other than your stomach?
Not bad, other than my stomach.
Nelly, all's well, I assume, except for the Devils, right?
Yeah. Mets are good.
What? You're Mets a Mets fan?
Yeah, you knew that.
No, I didn't. I knew you were Devils and Tampa Bay Bucks for some reason. Paul, I'm still recovering from yesterday's show. We're not going to start with Jared Jones again, but we may very well fit in Paul Skeens here off the top. How would you like to indulge in a Friday morning six-pack?
Let's do the six-pack. Let's do it.
Nelly, if you're able to scrounge up some in the salad drawer, I think, like Ron, we would like to do that. We'd like to open with a six-pack whenever you're ready. Are you ready?
I'm not. Give me 2 seconds to find the soundbite. It's hidden.
This used to happen to me, Paul, and I've mentioned it many times, that when we'd have a party, say at Cortland State, we thought we were out of beer at around 2, 2:30, maybe 6 a.m., and then I had hidden some at the beginning of the night,
yes,
while I was still of my faculties. And then I remembered. And then we'd open the salad drawer, and there were 6 or 7 beers hidden. They were the executive beers. And then we would have a celebration like Ovechkin with the cup. Remember that? Just when you thought we ran out of beer, Starkey put them in the salad drawer. It was big. Did you have that at point?
Were they warm though?
No. They were in the fridge down where you put
the
lettuce.
Oh, I see. Okay,
I thought
you meant like, yeah. Okay, okay, that's good.
Did you live at Point Park?
I did for 2 years, and then I got an apartment in Mount Washington. Actually, I got an apartment in Beltsoover.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Did you walk to bars from Point Park at night?
Yeah, a lot of times. Yeah, we would go. We would walk down to San Remo's.
Did you have a fake ID?
Which was like the cool place to be at San Remo's.
Yeah.
And then the other place was this a pizza joint called Jimmy's, which was the other way. I think San Remo's is actually still there. They moved a little bit further down. And then, of course, once I got a good fake ID, sometimes we would go to Froggy's. Remember the old bar Froggy's?
Tom Barrasso sure does.
Yes,
yes, I think people do remember.
So we would do that a lot, or there was always the catch the bus going up. What is it? Forbes. I always forget. Is it Forbes that goes to Oakland and Fifth that comes back? Yes.
Yeah.
Get on the bus. Get on the bus line there. Jump on a bus in Forbes Avenue. Go down to Oakland. And, you know, there was always Peter's Pub.
Oh, yeah.
CJ Barney's.
Oh, yes.
Zelda's.
Yeah,
right? Hemingway's Cafe was down there.
Did you need a fake ID or did
you? Yeah, it was always really like sort of like at CJ Barney's. And this is probably why CJ Barney's and Zelda's don't exist anymore. Because I kept at CJ Barney's. If you had something that had your. If you had something that resembled an ID,
yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. You know what I mean? But one time I used an ID, a fake ID for an Asian guy.
I used one for Joe Cribbs, the running back for the Bills.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I got in.
I had an Asian. Yeah, it was an Asian guy. It clearly did not look like me. And they let me in. They knew it was nonsense. You know what I mean? Like CJ's and Zelda's were the two places you could go if you didn't have ID or if you had a fake ID, you know, and then, you know, once we started feeling ourselves a little bit, you know, it was big night out at Chauncey's or Donsey's, you know what I mean? That's what, maybe remember those two places, Chauncey's.
I once ran into Pat Burns, the coach of the Bruins at Chauncey's.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there by himself. Tribute used to be at Station Square.
Right.
So I went up to the bar and got a great story from him, the late Pat Burns. It was unbelievable.
One night at Chauncey's, I mean, you'd run into everybody at Chauncey's. You know, like Bobby Brister was a fixture. There was a bunch of these, right? The one day I went there, sat down at the bar, looked next to me, smoking a cigarette. So I was like, hey, can I get a cigarette? So I engaged in conversation with Eric Davis. Remember the center fielder from the Reds?
Yes.
Yes.
He's, he was great.
Yes, we were there. He's smoking cigarettes, and I'm smoking. So I'm like, I don't even smoke cigarettes, but this is kind of, you know, it's pretty kind of cool. I'm sitting here talking to Eric Davis, you know.
That is tremendous.
Yes. And then the one night, Dave Justice was in there. And that's when I realized that, like, how hot a guy's wife is has nothing to do with whether or not he's going to have, you know, side activity. Because remember, he was married to Halle Berry.
Yes.
And he had three really attractive young women with him who I'm sure were not his nieces. And then they left together. So I don't know what kind of night he had that night, but it probably speaks volumes as to why those two are not married anymore.
We better get to the six-pack, shouldn't we? Nellie, thank you. The first item of business is Kyle Dubas, I believe, as we speak, is speaking to the media. So, Paul, I'll ask you, if you had one question for the Penguins general manager and you could inject him with truth serum, he couldn't help but tell the truth. Like Jim Carrey in Liar Liar. Remember that movie?
Right.
What would you ask Kyle Dubas?
Explain in detail why Mike Sullivan is going to continue to be your coach.
I'll build on that
one. And you can build on it with a follow-up.
I'll build on that one. I think the question for him is, Kyle, if it were up to you, would you fire Mike Sullivan?
That's a good question, too.
If it were up to you, would you fire him? We all know that that's not his decision.
It isn't. You're right.
My second question would be, Kyle, may I refer to you as Mr. Analytics? Which analytics told you that Erik Karlsson was going to make your power play better because he made it worse? That's not an opinion. That's an undeniable fact.
Yes.
Your power play was one of the biggest embarrassments in Pittsburgh sports history for the talent that you had. To finish where you did. Somebody told me today, Paul, that in regulation losses this year, the Penguins power play was 8-for-86. Think about that for a second. 8-for-86?
Wow.
And that doesn't include the shorthanded goals they let up. So which analytics, yes, Kyle, told you that Erik Karlsson was the guy who was going to transform your power play? Anyway, we'll listen to him later. This is a disaster.
It is. I think the questions about Sullivan are probably, because if that doesn't change, nothing's going to change. I really believe that.
I tend to agree with you, and that leads us to the second one, maybe down in the salad drawer. We're going to be combing social media. For all I know, this has already happened, but what's the best way to phrase this question? How shocked will you be if Todd Reirden isn't fired by the end of the day, the man in charge of the Penguins power play? I'll be extremely shocked.
Here's the thing. Here's why I won't say by the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume that they've started to have their end of the season meetings. But if Dubas hasn't met with Sullivan yet, you know, now maybe they're going to meet this afternoon.
Yeah.
And then it'll happen. But if they say, listen, we're just going to take the weekend and, you know, relax a little bit, and then Monday we'll meet. We'll start our postseason meetings with Dubas and Sullivan.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Maybe so. I won't say by the end of the day, but I'll say this: if he's still the head coach by Tuesday, or the assistant, you know, whatever they call him, assistant coach by Tuesday, I'd be shocked. And frankly, if we are sitting here on Tuesday in these two seats, and they have the same coaching staff, I got to question what they're doing.
You know what I'm really tired of? So do I, by the way. Is the media defenders of Kyle Dubas in this town. Oh, what was he supposed to do? He's hamstrung. That's a story I read last week. He's hamstrung by all. Then don't come here. Do what you said you were going to do and not take a job. That's what you said at the end of your Toronto tenure. Instead, you come here for $5 million a year. And your job is to make the Penguins better. That's the minimum you can do.
Right.
Is make the Penguins better, and they got worse. They got worse. Fewer wins, fewer points, no playoffs, joke of a power play, worse three. Whatever, you can keep going. He made them worse.
Yes.
And it's not because he was launching a rebuild. He tried. Here's the key. He tried very much to make them better. He went out and got Erik Karlsson, and I wouldn't redo that trade because the Penguins got rid of a bunch of bad contracts. But he thought he was going to transform their power play. That's what his analytics told him. He was wrong. He went out and signed Ryan Graves. Wrong. Terrible deal. He invested in Tristan Jarry after meeting with him out in Western Canada. Wrong. Terrible deal. He's done a terrible job. Yes. He had some good moves, for sure. Every GM has some. You don't go 0 for 20. So please, with the excuses for Kyle Dubas and the constant reminders of he's in a difficult situation. They all are.
Yes.
They're all in difficult situations. I wouldn't mind being in a situation with a Stanley Cup winning coach and one of the five best players in the world and a healthy Chris Letang and a healthy Erik Karlsson and a healthy Evgeny Malkin. That's not a bad place to start. It's not a bad place to start.
Honestly, Joe.
Oh, Kyle, he's trying to walk between rebuilding and winning a cup. It's really hard. Don't blame him.
Here's what I'll tell you, Joe. If you take away the fact that in the Karlsson deal, he was able to unload a bunch of garbage contracts. If you took that away, let's say he made the Karlsson deal and it wasn't really, he wasn't really able to offload any of the bad contracts. Let's just say he got Karlsson, but he had to trade a couple of players. What would his body of work be? I mean, I think that's the best thing you can say about him is that he got rid of some bad contracts. And I'll say this. He got sort of criticized a little bit for the Guentzel trade. I got to call that one a win.
Yeah, me too.
Because Michael Bunting was a good player for them. He came in, he did a couple things that they did not have anybody to do. I think he actually, in some ways, gave them a little bit of energy after they got out of their pout bag. 8 to 10 games after they got rid of Guentzel, after they got out of their pout bag, all of a sudden they realized this guy actually can help us win.
Yeah.
So I'll give him credit for the Guentzel deal.
He put them in position where they had to trade Guentzel. His job was to make them better. They got worse. Therefore, right. Guentzel had to go.
Right. But my point is, I think at the time most people gave him a C for the Guentzel deal. It's a C. He didn't get any of their top five prospects and yada yada yada. I think I probably move that up to a B.
For that move. I'll give him a B, but then right. I take away a grade because he put them in that position. So a C, and then for his tenure so far, a D minus. He tried to make the Penguins better and made some big bold moves, and they got worse. D minus.
Right. Here's the
put
other.
Put that on your refrigerator. Analyze that.
Yeah. Here's what I'll tell you. I'm glad you brought up the people who say, he's hamstrung. If that's the case, then they should have just kept Hextall here.
Yeah, just bury yourselves with Hextall.
Why go out and get a guy who's supposed to be one of the smartest guys in the league and who's supposed to be really smart at making moves and he's really, understands analytics and he's a new age general manager? Why go out and get that guy if you're not going to let him do his job? And here's the thing. I don't necessarily think that he's as quite a quote-unquote hamstrung as some people want to believe.
I was just going to say that.
I mean, how much do you think Fenway Sports is really, really micromanaging what's going on with the Penguins? If you want to tell me that they're protecting Sullivan, okay, I'll buy that. Beyond that, I have a hard time believing it because I've heard too many things that Cal Dubas has said that leads me to believe that he really believes in what they're doing there. You know what I mean?
A lot of GMs would like to be hamstrung to the tune of being able to drop $30 million plus on free agents. So hamstrung Kyle Dubas went out and got Lars Eller at 2.4, Noel Achari at 2, Erik Karlsson at 10, Ryan Graves at 4.5, Tristan Jarry at 5.3. That's what Mr. Hamstrung did. Oh, what could he possibly do? I don't know. Go out and sign anybody he wanted? That's basically what he did.
Right.
Yes, Nelly.
Can I throw something out there with Karlsson?
Please.
When he was in Ottawa, he was the guy. He was the top right-handed shot defenseman, and he had a Hall of Fame career or trajectory in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Then he went to San Jose, and he was behind Brent Burns.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as Brent Burns went to Carolina, that's when Erik Karlsson got the 101-point season. So I think with Karlsson, he needs to be the true number one right-handed defenseman that runs everything.
I mean, maybe, but he also hasn't won a playoff game in 5 years. And he was like, I think Josh Yeo quoted as saying, you know, it's been a long time here, 5 damn years. Yeah, I wonder why. Are you part of the answer as right. to why you never win a playoff game? Next one.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Mmm, that sounds delicious, Kelly, and thank you.
That one sounded good.
Speaking of Jake Guentzel, who we just talked about, our friend Adam Crowley pointed out that Guentzel has sold his house in Pittsburgh to Brian Rust. Is that an indication that Guentzel will definitely not be back here? It seems like one, Paul. Unless he wants to downsize.
It's probably a pretty good indication that, and again, it might be as simple as the Penguins basically told him, listen, you're probably not in our plans going forward. Because I would think that he'd want to come back if he had a shot to come back, right? And, well, here's the thing, though. He probably looks at this situation as well with eyes wide open and says, they're not going to win there for 3 or 4 years. Even if I go back, we're not going to win, you know? And so I might as well go get the most money I can get from wherever I can get it, and hopefully it's a team that is a lot closer to winning a Stanley Cup than that one is.
Well, I heard Malkin and Letang turned over their houses as well, Paul. Ricard Raquel had a clear chance to sell his house, but he shot wide. And the whole team, I think, was very excited to sell their houses, Nelly. But then the Guentzel trade came down, and they all got very sad and didn't have the energy to go through with it, right?
Yes.
This Guentzel crap. How about that?
Would you want?
God bless Lars Eller for calling out the whole team, because essentially, symbolically, he said, or sort of in a veiled way, he said, I can't believe that we wilted like we did because we traded a guy from our locker room. That's how I read his quotes
right.
yesterday.
And they
didn't recognize our team. People pay money to go watch that team, and they show up and lose to the Capitals 6-0 and admit afterward that they didn't even try.
Well, again, isn't it ridiculous? And I mean this, like, isn't it ridiculous to me that it took them 10 games to recover from that Jake Guentzel trade?
Yeah.
10. And the best part about it is, from the coach on down, for the most part, they basically tried to say that, oh, well, you know, we're professionals. We've got to move on. And even Mike Sullivan said, yeah, you know, this affected them a little bit, but they're pros. They need to, you
know.
Not
only are they pros, yeah. They're men of outstanding character.
Yes, and all this other stuff. Well, again, they were 2-7-1 starting with that Capitals game
in
their next 10 games. And really, that's the stretch that is the reason that we're sitting here talking about a team that didn't make the playoffs. So the outstanding character, here's what I hate when coaches and when people use that, oh, they've got outstanding character and it came through at the end. It's like, well, okay, well, where was that character in the first, second, and third quarter? when you were getting your brains beat in.
And aren't they, as millionaire professional athletes hired to do a job, supposed to do the job no matter the circumstances? Nelly. Another one. We got a lot to get to before Tyler Kennedy. Oh, wow. Aroldis Chapman was suspended 2 games for that little incident that occurred against the Mets in the 8th inning when he got kicked out. Apparently, Shelty told me on this show the other day that he said something in Spanish to the umpire. Man, what did he say, Paul? Well, what's going on?
Yes.
A guy gets suspended 2 games for something that was said?
When I read the whole thing, I said, I don't remember this, you know, going on like it was worthy of a two-game suspension. Did I miss something? Did
Some
you miss
magic
it?
Words were said. On the other hand, if you watch the preseason video with Chapman, he's pretty much capable of doing or saying anything. So maybe I'm on the side of Major League Baseball with this one.
Right.
God only knows what he said.
Right, right,
if you go back and look at that video, Nelly.
But when I read it, it said inappropriate actions.
Yes, exactly.
During Monday's game, and I'm thinking to myself, I watched the entire game.
Did he bump the guy?
I don't recall him doing anything way out of the order. Did I miss this whole thing? Were you watching it? Or I watched the entire game. I can honestly say maybe I was looking away from the TV for 30 seconds and he went ham or whatever. But
maybe he thought he was being squeezed, kind of the opposite of that spring training video.
He was ejected.
Nelly.
I remember him being ejected.
Yeah, I don't know.
But.
It's
Derek
weird.
Shelton, he evidently said something the umpire did not like. But
to put it mildly.
Have you ever heard of a suspension for saying something? If he didn't like physically push umpire?
I haven't.
That's why I was confused. Okay, you know, he got it. What did he do that he got a suspension?
I don't know. Nelly, next. Thank you, Nelly. You made us wait for that one, and that's why it tastes so good. Paul Skeens last night for the Indianapolis Indians. Maybe we should go watch them. We could do our show live from Indy. 3 1/3 scoreless innings, 100 miles an hour on 34 pitches. Again, may I remind you, he's got so many bullets this year, and he used 34 of them last night. How many pitches did he throw 100 miles an hour? I had that. 34 pitches.
Yeah, exactly.
Got 100 miles an hour plus so that Indianapolis could win a game. So far this year, 12 2/3 innings, 5 hits, no runs, 27 strikeouts, 4 walks. But let's keep him down so he can get used to the 5-day schedule. All right? Maybe he can get his eating in play, right? He can do his game day meals. We want to get that straight. His sleep. The 5-day schedule, he's got to get used to all of that. I guess, call me crazy, I'm most interested in how he throws the baseball and can he get hitters out. I'm sure as a guy who was in the Air Force, as a guy who's 22 years old, as a guy who seems very, very grown up, that he can adjust to a 5-day work schedule.
Right.
I'm guessing he can do that. And you know what else I'm guessing? I'm guessing he can come up here and get major league hitters out. With 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
But, Joe, what's hilarious to me is that everybody knew. We all knew and we all said it's useless almost to send him to the minors because he's going to blow away minor league hitters. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything he's done, is there anything that's surprising to you? When a guy's got his stuff, they're going to probably dominate minor league hitters. It's just the way it is.
How many pitches did he throw?
60-something.
Okay. So all you need to know, to put this all into a nutshell, Nelly, is that there's a guy in the majors who had an historically epic start who's throwing pitches, 50-some pitches, and the number one overall pick is throwing more than that, but he's throwing them in the minors. What the hell is going on?
That's the thing that when I saw how many pitches he threw, so the company line is we've got to get him used to, we've got to build him up, and
the
we've got to get him used to the 5-day work schedule.
Right.
So
it's the soft soft tossing on day 3.
Yes.
There's a big adjustment needed there.
Right.
The soft tossing on day 3 needs to be tweaked.
Like I said. I mean, if you're trying to stretch him out, why are you yanking him out after 3 1/3 or whatever, right?
Well, they gave him 10 more pitches, I guess. I don't know.
But you know what I mean?
By the middle of August, he'll have pitched a real game.
Why not just let him pitch?
Yes.
I mean, the point is, I think we all know what's going on here. You know, it's another situation where they're trying to manipulate the service time, which, okay, just kind of say that. But please stop.
Please stop.
Please stop with
please
this
stop.
Thing
we have
about
breaking news, Paul. Breaking news. I'm sorry to interrupt. What do you got, Nelly?
I know you're already fired up, but this is from Josh Yowie.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like coaching changes are coming. Dubas didn't say one way or another, to be clear, but he said this season was his responsibility, not that of the coaches. So, Todd. Todd Reardon may be staying.
All right, then. I haven't written a Saturday column since I've been at the Post-Gazette. I will sit down after this show today and absolutely shred him and them.
Yes.
All right.
Listen, wait. So,
if you want me to read it again, I can.
I have it right in front of me. So, Joe, basically...
That doesn't mean it's true, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, he said basically that he didn't say... Well, he said the season was his responsibility, not that of the coaches. It sounds like he's going to allow Mike Sullivan to make these decisions, which means decisions about the coaching staff and apparently some of the players are Fenway Sports and not Cal Dubas. And now the decisions about the coaching staff are Mike Sullivan's and not Cal Dubas. So to your point, what the hell does Cal Dubas do? What is he? Why is he here? You could have kept Hextall here if he's this hamstrung that he can't make decisions.
It sounds like he may be doing Fenway Sports Group's bidding, but I don't know what this will add up to. And I really like Todd Reardon. And I think Todd Reardon's a good hockey coach. But I'm sorry, you are responsible to your job mission, your job description. He runs the power play. These weren't the expansion San Jose Sharks we're talking about. These were the Pittsburgh Penguins who just brought in Erik Karlsson, a Norris Trophy-winning 100-point defenseman who put Chris Letang, another really, really good player, moved him off the power play. And Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Jake Guentzel and Brian Rust, these are the Pittsburgh Penguins. And they had, I think, the second or third worst power play in the league. It got exponentially worse since last season. It was a problem that reared its head early on. They had like 6 power play goals in 24 games. They got off to a horrendous start. The power play, more than anything else, sabotaged their season. And we're just going to stick with the same guys? I mean,
yeah,
this is unfathomable.
Well,
if true, if this pans out to be the case, it's unfathomable. I would fire Dubas if that's the case. Honest to God, I would.
As I wrote in my column the other day, they've deluded themselves into thinking every single year, they're close. We're close.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.